This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Wednesday morning to you. It is Wake Up Call as we have returned from the holidays. Thanks to all the hosts that filled in for me while I was away for Christmas. It's never easy when you're a fill-in host to work on the holidays, and so I always appreciate the people who do. And so I thank them from the bottom of my heart for allowing us to have some holiday fun. We'll have top five, bottom five coming up this hour, and it's the week 16 edition as we head into the final week of the NFL season. Emory Hunt is going to join us as well. Always good to talk to him as we go around the league. We had some games that really kind of were eye-opening a little bit in terms of, okay, if this is what you're bringing to the table, maybe I should be a little concerned. Sunday night, for example, was one of them. Tennessee. Now, it's no shame in losing to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, and there's no shame on losing on a snowy night at Lambeau. Some really good teams have gone to Lambeau when it's snowing and not found their rhythm and their offensive game plan. But Tennessee was built a little differently, and I really thought that that game was going to be something that was more competitive. Because I thought if you are the Titans, what you bring to the table is you bring a smart quarterback that has done a lot of good things for you, one of the best wide receiving cores they've had in a very long time, and the amazing Derrick Henry, who should tire down a defense, wear you down, and control the clock, control the ball, which would allow you to sort of minimize a person like Aaron Rodgers. He might still get his touchdown passes, but he shouldn't rip through you for 40 points. But the exact opposite happened. That game was over quickly. And the Titans, I wouldn't say were exposed. I think that's too strong of a word. But everything that you think the Titans could bring to a game like that, they didn't bring to a game like that. And the largeness of the stage can affect teams in different ways. When we get to the top five, for example, I'm going to put my chips on the table for one team. But I don't know if the stage, when we get to the playoffs and the bright lights of the postseason, are going to hold true. We'll have that coming up next as we continue. Again, top five, bottom five, and Emory Hunt. So a full hour of NFL for you as we continue on Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
Kane is in the building.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And thanks for joining us as we continue Wake Up Call. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. Give us your top five, bottom five after 16 weeks of the NFL. We go from five all the way to number one. Just to preface this by saying that for once again, for the second straight week, I did not put the Pittsburgh Steelers in my top five. Despite their comeback victory against the Colts and looking sharp doing it, I did not.
I don't blame you.
I did not. I still don't trust them.
They're not my top five either.
But my number five team is the Seattle Seahawks. Nice win against the Rams, even though Jared Goff hurt his thumb. I don't think it would have mattered. I think the Seahawks would have won that game anyway. They have now won three in a row, albeit two of the teams in that run was against the NFC East. They are 11-4. Russell Wilson is still doing awesome things, as Russell Wilson does. He will not win the MVP award.
No. Nope.
But it doesn't matter. They're still very good at 11-4, and they are my five team. And their defense is coming around. It was their big Achilles heel at various spots during the season. I think about the week three game against Dallas or the Patriots where they gave up a lot of points, but they are really starting to sort of, you know, tighten up a bit. This is a threatening team and they're number five.
Yeah, they're to my number five as well. I haven't had them in the top five for a while, and it was a good win against the Rams. They did well against the Rams defense. They caught a break, fortunately, with Jared Goff getting out with an injury, which, by the way, did we all see Jared Goff pop his thumb back into place?
I did, yes. Ugh. Yikes. Egads.
That takes a real man. I'm sorry. I mean, we can make fun of his quarterback prowess, but I don't think I'd be able to pop my thumb back
in. No, I would not. I would scream like a child.
Yeah.
And you'd have to take me to the emergency room immediately.
I would literally have to tell the guys, like, hey, count to three, but do it on, like, one or two. Just
exactly.
Don't let me know which one you're going to do it on.
Yes, exactly.
But back to the Seahawks. This is a dangerous team. And I agree. Russell Wilson will not win the MVP. Again, I don't think Russell Wilson will get a vote.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either.
Sorry,
I don't.
You were my unanimous decision back like a week five or six, and then something happened.
They were 5-0 and rolling along, and it looked like, oh, this is the year. This is the year. And then,
Josh Allen's going to steal his votes.
I agree completely.
Josh Allen won't win it either, but he will steal his votes.
Number four on my list, this is where I put the New Orleans Saints. One of the drawbacks of having your communication systems go out due to a bombing is missing out on Alvin Kamara's 6-touchdown day on Christmas. We could not see that. And when I kept seeing it afterwards, well, when I was able to log on with data on Twitter, I could not believe what I was reading about his performance against Minnesota. He had, 52 fantasy points in that game?
Yeah.
Something along those lines?
Funny enough, I will say this. The finals for our fantasy football league.
Yes.
Sean Mapes, who fills in from time to time when I cannot make it in, or when I choose not to. Not can't, but choose. He had Alvin Kamara and already had a 56-point lead, and he is in the finals. That's a tough go.
Yeah, that really is.
56 points from one guy.
Well, it snapped a 2-game losing skid. They're now 11-4. They have won the NFC South. One of the things I did get to do afterwards was there was a YouTube highlight reel of that game. So I kind of watched that, and he looked amazing, and it was fun. It was one of those games where it looked like the Saints were just like, let's score as many points as we can. Let's just have a good time. That's at least the way the highlight package worked. But they're my number four team. If you get Breeze going along and now you got Kamara, which they always had, but this is the team that looked like the team that won 9 in a row before Breeze got hurt.
Yeah. No, they're my number four team as well. It's because they found a way to maximize their offense. Listen, we've seen Drew Breeze. Breeze isn't the same person he has been the last couple of weeks or last couple of years where he was just posting, great numbers, breaking records. He kind of took a step back this year, especially with that injury. I still don't think he's 100% healthy just because I'm still dealing with a shoulder issue from when I got hurt over the summer. So
yeah,
I can only imagine what, I didn't crack ribs or puncture a lung.
I can't believe you can come back that quickly after fractured ribs.
Yeah, our bodies take a little bit longer to heal, and it's okay to admit that, Drew. We're not 20-something years old anymore.
No, you're right. They're not a good passing team, despite Drew Brees.
No.
They're a really good running team.
But
what
they do have in Drew Brees is someone that, like the Broncos had in Peyton Manning. You have someone who can manage the game, who can make the short passes, who knows how to play this game inside and out, and knows how to hold on to a lead. And that's where I think the Saints could be dangerous.
All right, so number three. Now, this is where it gets tricky for me. I've got 1, 2, and 3. I got to be honest with you. I put them in a pot, pick out a team, and if you told me that was my number one team,
yep,
I'd buy it. This is the way I feel about these three, is that I had to rank them, but if it's 1A, B, and C, that's pretty much where I have these. Three is Green Bay, and I feel bad about it because what I saw Sunday night was a Super Bowl championship team that could beat anybody, anytime, anywhere. Right, I've always been hesitant with the Packers, always been a little hesitant. Like, look, I know they can win the NFC, but when they go up against Patrick Mahomes, I don't know. I don't think that anymore. I think the Green Bay Packers, like everybody else is thinking about the Green Bay Packers, could easily win the Super Bowl. They're that good. Aaron Rodgers is the MVP. Him and Devontae Adams have been fun to watch. But the way they look, the Titans, the Titans are not a fluke football team that got exposed. That was a good football team they beat. That is a team that it can beat you a number of different ways and found zero ways to do it on Sunday night against Green Bay. I don't care if it was snow. It could have been 85 degrees outside. It didn't matter. That game was going the Packers' way, and it was going to stay the Packers' way. Green Bay is three. They could have been at any place in the top three on this list.
Yep. No, I'm with you. For me, And I've been doing this all season where I keep an AFC team and an NFC team as my 1-2 punch because that's who I think is going to the Super Bowl. So number three for me is the Bills.
Okay.
I should probably follow your mantra because I know who your two and I know who your one are. And you can probably figure out who my two and one are as well. The Bills right now, they are an incredible team. And what they displayed against the Patriots, I do feel that they were running up the score.
I do completely.
I think they were getting out all the angst of, 20 years of dominance by the Patriots?
I completely agree with that. And that was a season sweep statement.
Yeah. And that was like, hey, you know what? Let's just get this touchdown. You want another? Let me throw another. You don't need to be throwing touchdowns when you're up by that much in the fourth quarter, but you still are. And you know what? We love you for it. We didn't hate you at all for doing that. Not one article came out. I don't even think in New England an article came out about how the Bills were running up the score against us.
Right. Completely.
Making Bill Belichick the instant meme of to close out 2020 with him throwing the phone.
Yeah, right. To get that kind of moment for a lot of people was satisfying.
Yeah.
Completely satisfying.
I mean, you guys could have lost the game and still got that moment and we all would have been happy. But for me, the Bills are a three. I know they're your two.
No, they're not.
Oh,
Kansas City is my two.
Uh-oh.
And I'll tell you why. And I'm going to, because now Buffalo is my one. This is where you guys can come back to me some point in January and laugh in my face. And I will take every single mean tweet I can handle. I think Buffalo is going to beat Kansas City in the playoffs. If they play them, if they beat them and play them, I think they'll beat them. Look, the problem I had is what I said at the beginning of the show, of this hour, which is I don't know what the bright lights of the moment is going to do to the Bills. I know what the bright lights of the moment has done for Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. I know that. I saw that all last year when they trailed in every single game and still came out Super Bowl champions. This guy plays great when the bright lights are on him. I don't know necessarily if Buffalo has done it. Monday nights are not the same as a postseason game, as a Super Bowl game, an AFC championship game. But these last couple of weeks for Kansas City, a come-from-behind win late against the Raiders, dominating the Buccaneers only to win by three, Denver Broncos keeping them out of the end zone, Miami in a close game, New Orleans in a close game with Drew Brees being awful at the very beginning of it. And then the Falcons miss a field goal that would have sent that game into overtime. I'm not saying the Kansas City Chiefs are different. I'm not saying they're bad. They're wins and take them as you come in this league. You're going to get everybody's best game, and that's true. But what I'm seeing from the Bills is different right now. The Bills are killing everybody. They ripped the Broncos to pieces. They dominated the Steelers. They killed the Patriots, so it was almost a no-moss, Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran kind of moment. They're killing opponents, and Josh Allen is unstoppable. I think this Bills team today, right now, could beat Kansas City. I don't care if it's in Kansas City. I don't care if it's in Buffalo. I like the way the Bills are playing. Kansas City has won 10 in a row. The Bills would have won 9 in a row if it wasn't for a Hail Mary. I'm taking Buffalo as one, Kansas City as two.
I can respect that. There's nothing but respect for that. You are on to something. And here's another thing that we have to consider that I don't think we have considered. The Chiefs have played a lot of football in 2020.
Yes, they have. You're right.
I mean, we got to remember that.
You're right.
They had, four extra games to start 2020. And so, even though it's still a long offseason, there was a whole offseason of uncertainty and blah, 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 blah. But they played a lot of games. And it's always hard for a team who has won a Super Bowl, even gone to a Super Bowl, to go back to a Super Bowl the following year. You might be onto something.
Yeah.
For me, number two is the Packers. Number one is the Chiefs. Number two, the Packers, to start with them, is everything that you just said. They have the MVP. Them and Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, like you said, they're fun. They went to camp. They went to a summer retreat. They did something together during the offseason. I don't know what. They're like one body, one mind. It's almost eerily similar if this was to happen and if your prediction is to come true. Go back to the Bills real quick. Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs have that same chemistry.
Same
right
feeling,
now.
Same chemistry. Exactly.
Where they just know where each other is on the field. They're having a good time with each other. They're laughing. They're loose. I still have the Chiefs at number one because I can't discount Patrick Mahomes.
No doubt about it.
You know, the weapons that he has in Tyreek Hill and Kelsey, you know, at all the wide receivers, Harden and Watkins, I mean, there's just too much for Mahomes. But having said that, listening to you go on, I don't know if I trust the Chiefs' defense as much as I trust the Bills' defense.
Yeah. I think it's not just Allen and Diggs. Right.
Completely. I think that's the X factor there, is because that Bills' defense has gotten stronger and stronger as the season goes on.
All right, we got the bottom five coming up, but before we do that, hey, remember, New Year's Eve is coming, and you know you might be getting together or you might be indulging in some all sorts of crazy food. My family and I, we have this tradition that goes back years. My brother actually started with us when he came down for a New Year's Eve celebration, in which we go out and we get all sorts of appetizers for New Year's Eve. It's not even a meal. That's dinner. Potato skins, mozzarella sticks, jalapeno poppers, you name it, wings, you name it, we make it, and everybody just eats that on New Year's Eve, and we do it every single year. I've been doing it since 2013. Well, when that happens, you're going to get some overstuffed stomachs, and you're going to get some upset stomachs, and that's why you need Nauseen, upset stomach nausea remedy. Wild cherry flavor, quick dissolving chewable tablets. It is available at the digestive section at most leading retailers. Non-drowsy, no chalky medicinal flavor, no aspirin, no caffeine, no antihistamines. It's a specially buffered formula that helps calm and control the upset stomach discomfort, which you might be feeling at the end of this week if you have a good time on New Year's Eve. Formula quickly relieves stomach discomfort from overindulging. Go get it. Nauseen, wild cherry flavor, so you know it tastes good. Again, available in most leading retailers in the digestive section. Bottom five of the NFL coming up next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people help you navigate their wide selection to find just what the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install your wiper blades free of charge. See better and drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. We go from 28 on up to 32, the worst of the worst. And God, this is another one where it just feels like you could just throw a bunch of teams into this pile. Number 28, though, this is where I put Detroit. They were 3-3 at one point. They stink now. They got rolled by Tom Brady. I mean, God, I mean, Brady's great and everything, but he made this game look like a college walkthrough. It felt like cupcake week. The Lions are, you know, they got a new coach. They got rid of the old coach. That's a good thing for them for 2020. Matt Patricia's gone. But they've lost five of their last six, and they just give up a lot of points, and they don't look good at all.
Nah, they don't.
No, they're terrible.
They may or may not be my bottom five. We'll see.
Yeah, they've given up 46 and 47 points in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Yeah. So they're 28.
28 for me, this is where I have the Falcons.
Yeah, Atlanta.
This team just went the wrong direction so quickly. I have no words. No words to describe. I mean, yeah, you know what? They put up a good fight against the Chiefs. But at no point in that game, like we've been saying all year, season long, I never feel the Chiefs are gonna lose a game. I always feel like they're going to win.
Sure.
And much to the same credit, I feel that the Falcons are going to blow a game no matter what the score is.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, I have Atlanta at 29, and that's exactly the same reason, is that it's just not matter. They're going to find a way to give it up, give it away. This one was a missed field goal at the end. They did have a lead. It was a fourth quarter lead. It wasn't huge, but it was still a fourth quarter lead. Mahomes hit DeMarcus Robinson, got the touchdown, and then they couldn't kick the field goal at the end. So it's 4-11. Raheem Morris is their interim coach. Things looked bright when he did finally get the job, but it hasn't been looking since. So Atlanta for me is 29 for the same reasons that you said.
Yeah. Number 29 for me, this is where I had the Texans.
Texans.
J.J. Watt, epic rant post-game was the only good thing that came out of that game.
Yeah, exactly.
It was the only good thing. I don't even know what to say about Deshaun Watson anymore. He doesn't look like the same quarterback he's been. He's still a good quarterback. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a great quarterback and definitely one who can lead a team to a Super Bowl appearance, maybe even a win. But the Texans need to go shopping badly. They just need to completely overhaul both sides of the ball, even special teams. They need to start with the general manager. They need to start with the new head coach. I mean, this team needs everything.
Yeah, it does. And it's sad, too, because even though we were talking about the Steelers in a decade of just underachieving, and the reason is that Manning and Brady were kind of dominating right. The decade. But there was a feeling like the Texans were right there. They were ready to take an opening. Like, they were ready to just, like, whenever one of these teams falls, here comes Houston, right? They got their quarterback. You know, they had one of the more dynamic wide receivers in the game before they finally traded him. They had J.J. Watt. They had Clowney and, you know, but it didn't open. The door never fully opened for them.
Listen, there's something to be said about this Texas team having a 24-0 lead against the Chiefs. And then coughing that up and losing 50-28 or whatever the score
completely.
Was.
I agree completely.
They have not been the same team ever since. And I know that they didn't play any games after that moment last year in the playoffs. But from the moment they took the field this year, they haven't looked. We gave them a pass. Remember those first three games? We gave them a pass. Well, you got a really raw end of the deal, the schedule.
Yep, and Chiefs, Ravens, and Steelers, right.
And they did. That was a tough, tough schedule to start with. And then it was when they lost to the Vikings that we're like, you know what? This team may not be that good.
Yeah, I mean, they're good.
Sure enough, they're not that good.
So Houston for me is my 30th team. So we just expounded on them. So you can go to the 30th team on your list.
All right. Well, the 30th team on my list is the Lions.
Lions. Okay.
So look at that. I mean,
look at that. We just mix
them all up. I mean, literally any of these teams could be in any of these positions. The point is that all three of these teams deserve to be in the bottom five.
Yep, completely.
And all three of these teams need a head coach, by the way.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm saying there's a reason why their coaches were all fired and that these teams are terrible this year.
31 on my list. This is where I put the Jets, even though they've won two in a row. I was toying with the Eagles in the bottom five because they lost to Dallas and they had a 14-point lead.
Yeah.
But I give them a pass because I think Jalen Hurts is the future, and they got to work that out.
I do too.
I'm totally cool
weird?
With that.
Feel
like
bad.
I'm told, like, go ahead, lose some games, get this kid ready, do what you got to do. It's fine. I'm going to give you a pass. The Jets have won two in a row. Good win against a Browns team that was a little decimated from COVID, but you still stink, and you're 31.
Yep, no, I have the Jets at 31 as well.
And the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes winners, the Jacksonville Jaguars, are 32.
See, and that's kind of I almost wanted to put the Jets at the bottom again just because you had one job, Jets.
That's
and
it.
I'm not saying, you know, we already talked about earlier last hour how teams don't tank. And we know, Jets, you weren't ever tanking. Ownership tanks. Ownership needed to step in and make sure that they secured the number one spot, and they did it.
So congratulations, Trevor Lawrence is going to go to Jacksonville, and who knows where his career will go after that.
Yeah.
Like, in a couple of years, will they ship him off to somewhere else? Or
yeah, is he going to be there for his entire career? Is he there just for the bare minimum? I've heard rumors that Trevor Lawrence is so amazing that he will keep the Jaguars from ever thinking about moving to England.
Yeah, exactly. Can't wait. Can't wait till the Trevor Lawrence show goes back to Great Britain. For the game or, to, you know, the game that they have
every year. They won't because Trevor Lawrence won't want that. And
and
Shad Khan will be like, oh, well, of course, we will stay here.
Emery Hunt's going to join us next. Oh, but we want to tell you about Freol Deep Penetrating Oil. Listen, there are a lot of reasons that you would want to use Freol Deep Penetrating Oil. Corroded U-bolts, axle nut removal, brake capital removal, rusted nuts and bolts, machine screws, stuck ball joints, all sorts of reasons. Industrial strength Freol spreads deep into the rusted and frozen parts and it frees them with ease. There's a three-part formula delivering three times more lubricant. It takes less spray, less torque, and less time than any other penetrating oil to get the job done. It's also body shop safe, which means it's safe on paint, plastic parts, and silicon free. Freol Deep Penetrating Oil. Check them out at AutoZone, O'Reilly, Napa. Check them out on the shelves there. You will love it. Freol Deep Penetrating Oil. All right, Emery Hunt's going to join us. We'll go around the league as we have completed 16 weeks as Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, week 16 is in the books of the NFL. We head to the final week of the season. Still a lot of playoff implications on the line. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Emory Hunt, footballgameplan.com, also works with does some work with CBS, joining us. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing fine. I appreciate you having me on.
All right, Emory, call me crazy, and you can totally do this. I think the Buffalo Bills could beat the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs. Assess Buffalo so far. What do you like about them? What do you like about the way they're playing as we head into the final week of the season?
Well, I like that they are playing, you know, as a team. And when I say that, I'm talking about how, you know, energetic they're out there and playing. They really look like they just love playing the game of football. And when you have that level of enthusiasm, it takes you a long way. So when you're playing together, you're playing for one another, that matters in sports. All those, you know, people in the analytics community will want to tell you otherwise, but that stuff tends to carry some weight for those that are in it, and they're playing really good football right now.
I know you like to follow kind of trends. This kid, Josh Allen, when he came into the league, he was a running quarterback. Now he's got 4,300 passing yards, 34 touchdowns. He's not the leading rusher on his team like he was in his first year in the league. What has he done? What have they done to him to turn him into the passer that he is now?
Well, he's really started to hit his layups, and I'm talking about those shorter passes that, you know, that are your routine throws that quarterbacks tend to have to make. You know, prior to this year, he was missing those. They were either going high or he was throwing it too hard. You know, he's developed a changeup in his passes. Even when going deeper down the field, he's developed a little bit more arc on the football and a little bit more touch. So he's now connecting on those passes that he was missing his first 2 years in the league.
The Miami Dolphins, where are they at in terms of quarterbacking, right? I mean, in terms of playing the way they – I mean, this is a team that is going to the playoffs at 10-5. Is it a Fitzpatrick team? Is it a Tua team? Where are the Dolphins?
I think it's a Dolphins team right now because you see they constantly can't decide if they want to let Tua work through his mistakes or try to win the game with Fitzpatrick. And, you know, Tua has done a good job when he's starting. I mean, he's won six of his eight games that he started. And so it's not like he's out there playing terrible. The numbers look good, but situationally they want to see him play a little bit better. And I would rather them keep him out there to let him learn through any mistakes or go through any rough patch. But good to have a veteran like Fitzpatrick that can come in and kind of, you know, jump in the game cold and play well. And you just hope that, because you know this about Fitzpatrick, at some point, Fitzpatrick will happen, and you just hope that it's not at the most crucial part of the game. Even in the game last week where they beat the Raiders, that pass he threw, he literally just threw it up. You know, it was fortunate for him. The guy was open, and also it was a flag on the face mask. But why are you throwing that football just willy-nilly in the first place? So, you know, there are going to be things like that for Fitzpatrick. He just hopes that this time around, he has a chance to right some wrongs, because the last time he was in this situation was with the Jets, where they had a win or get in situation against Buffalo in week 17. And he had his worst game of the year in that final game that kept the Jets out of the playoffs.
Tennessee and Indianapolis, both teams competing for the AFC South, and both teams are 10-5. And I don't think 1 week can say everything about your season. But, Emory, did you notice something about the way the Titans lost and the way the Colts lost in their game against the Steelers that's showing flaws in these teams, or was it just bad opportunities and just bad games overall?
More so for the Titans than it is for the Colts. I think the Colts, because they had a big lead in that game against Pittsburgh, and they just took their foot off the gas. And so I don't have a problem with those guys, because they still can run the football. Their defense is still solid, still very strong within the front seven. So I'm not concerned about Indianapolis. For Tennessee, it's more of a concern if they can't run the football, then Ryan Tannehill can't beat you throwing the football. He plays well when Henry is rolling, and you have to worry about the run game. But their defense still has that issue on the back end where they're giving up a lot of big plays in the passing game. So you have a lot of different things in Tennessee that you're worried about. One, they can't get to the quarterback. They struggle to keep the ball from going over their head. And Ryan Tannehill is a good placeholder, when the run game is working, but when it's not, you need him to make plays throwing the football. You know, without relying on the threat of Henry, then he's kind of mediocre.
The Rams with Jared Goff, thumb injury, but there's been a conversation, Emery, about Goff overall. We've heard it for a number of years, despite going to a Super Bowl, that he's not on that upper level of quarterback. Can he be, or is he what he is and will pretty much stay that way?
I think Goff is what he is, man. You know, he's in that Kirk Cousins realm. He's in that, you know, that level of quarterback play, late career Matt Ryan. You know, and it's just kind of like, all right, this is what he is, and you're going to have to find ways to win around him. You know, and he, just like how we talked about Ryan Tannehill, it's the same thing for Jared Goff.
Yeah.
You know, if run game is there and the run game, you know, is doing well and he's doing his play action thing, he can be effective, and the offense looks really good. I mean, there's times where you look at Jared Goff, you're like, man, that's just a really good throw, really good read. He's in rhythm, all that good stuff. But then you look at him in the same breath, and you're like, wow, like it looks like he has no clue. So, you know, I think he is what he is right now, and, you know, you're just going to have to understand that and work around it.
The same kind of question that I asked earlier about the loss for the Titans of the Colts can be flipped with the Steelers. It was a struggling football team and then turned it on in the second half and got a victory, a much-needed victory. But there's still problems there with Pittsburgh, right? This didn't go away.
No, Pittsburgh is a tired football team, man. You know, I think they had their bye week, what, in week four? There was a bye week, you know, so they really have played so many games in a row on many different days, three games in 12 days in one stretch. And so they're literally a tired football team. And to, you know, compound that, they can't run the football. And so if you can't run the ball, it kind of forces you to you know, play a different style of game. You know, maybe use your short passing game as a supplement to your run game. But it also affords you a lot of three and outs or a lot of short drives for your defense, which is tired, and is getting back out there. And it's like, man, you know, we need to either drum up a turnover or score a touchdown to give ourselves a little bit of cushion, a little bit of breathing room. But they are a tired football team. But I'm still impressed they were able to come back, fight through, take it easily, laid down against Indianapolis. They're down 24-7. And he came back and won that football game and stopped Indy from scoring. So it shows you that there's still some fight there, and it's going to be interesting to see how their backups going through this game against Cleveland with a chance to keep the Browns out of the playoffs.
Emery Hunt joins us, footballgameplan.com, fantastic website. Also does work for CBS as we go through the NFL, again after Week 16, heading into Week 17. Emery, Dwayne Haskins, released from the Redskins, he was not picked up on waivers. You could point out and say he's a bust, he didn't work out. But we've seen guys resurrect their careers with a little maturity, someplace else, with different leadership. Does Haskins have that potential?
Absolutely. That's the part I don't really understand about the conversation about Dwayne Haskins. We're not going to sit there and ignore the 50 touchdown passes he threw at Ohio State that made him a Heisman finalist, that went into the only offensive threat he had, you know, at receiver was Terry McLaurin, who up until Dwayne Haskins was the starting quarterback at Ohio State, all he was a special teamer and, you know, a return man. Haskins gets the start. Did we know about Terry McLaurin? We go to his rookie year. Terry McLaurin only goes off. Why? Because Dwayne Haskins is starting. And J.K. Dobbins gets drafted. So those are the only two offensive weapons. And it's funny because we talk about Haskins and look at that situation and say, oh, he had great talent. But no one talks about Joe Burrow, who had the same year as Haskins the following season, who Haskins beat out at Ohio State, who had three first-round picks at receiver and also a first-round running back and also three of his offensive linemen to go in the first three rounds, but it was Joe Burrow because he was great and not because of the talent he had around him. But Haskins, to me, still has talent, and I think in an ideal situation, the team we just talked about, Pittsburgh, would be great because he can get there. They have a stable organization. They do things the right way, and he wouldn't be pressed to put out there until Big Ben hangs him up. And now you have a guy that has learned the system for a year or 2 years, so there's no turnover like crazy in Pittsburgh. I think that would be the most ideal spot for Dwayne Haskins.
All right, Emery Hunt again joining us, footballgameplan.com. All right, one final question, and this is a team that's not going to the playoffs, and that's the New England Patriots, because as you know, Emery, everyone wants to take their shots at New England now that they're 6-9 and it's been a bad season. But there's been COVID outage by players. There have been plenty of injuries, and of course, losing Tom Brady. Yeah, is the criticism fair though? Is the shots that everybody wants to take because 20 years of excellence and everybody has been who's not a fan has sort of had some angst against this team? Is the criticism fair of where this team is at 6-9?
I think so, because I think people still expected Bill Belichick to make chicken salad out of you know what, right?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Even though you got all the opt-outs and all of the turnover, and Cam Newton clearly is not the Cam Newton that we've grown to know and love throughout his career. Is clearly something that's affecting him with his arm and how he passes the football. So they had limitations at quarterback, and that's fine, but you expected the defense to not be as bad as it has been all throughout the season. I think that is more concerning, and that's why you see people taking these shots at New England, because the defense has been terrible. And yes, they've had some opt-outs, but it also highlights how they haven't drafted well also. So,
yep.
You know, I think that's a big issue, and it's been something that has been a concern, let's say, just the last two seasons. So what we saw last year wasn't an anomaly. It was a sign of things to come, in which we're seeing currently.
Emory Hunt, always good talking to you, my friend. We love having you on. Thank you so much. I hope to catch you up with the playoffs as we continue on with this league.
Appreciate you, Paul. Always having me on, man. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you too, my friend. Emory Hunt, footballgameplan.com. I told you it was a great site. It is a great site. Also doing some work for CBS on a Progressive guest line. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. All right, some of the things that we talked about we'll touch on with Ron and I as we continue with Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. You need a mortgage that fits your life. Rocket can. Thanks to Emory Hunt for joining us last hour. Okay, so a couple of things here. There are a number of 10-5 teams that have not yet clinched a playoff berth. Miami, Baltimore, Cleveland, and then the two teams in the South, the AFC South, Tennessee and Indianapolis. If you're Miami, and I kind of misspoke, and I got to correct myself, because I said to Emory when we were talking about the Dolphins, I said, this is a team that's going to the playoffs. They're not going to the playoffs yet. They still have some work to do. But, you know, they're in good shape. I mean, they're 10-5. They're in that group of teams. But they do have a quarterback issue, in that Tua Tagovailoa is a rookie, and Ryan Fitzpatrick is a veteran.
Yeah.
And, yeah,
there
was a miracle finish at the end of that, and it was just Fitzpatrick heaving a ball up in the air and then drawing a major penalty. But who do you go with? I mean, this whole idea of Tua's going to grow and learn, that's fun in week 5 and 6. This is real now. You owe it to your team to make the playoffs. And I'm not saying Brian Flores is not trying to make the playoffs. I think his decision is going to be what's in the best interest of the team. But you can't give us the this is Tua's team line anymore. Like, whoever is going to be the quarterback of this game better give you the best chance of winning right now. I don't care what the future holds. I don't care if Ryan Fitzpatrick never plays another snap in the league. I don't care if Tua Tagovailoa needs more reps to take over be the franchise quarterback. You owe it to the organization to make the playoffs and get into this game and win. And they're playing Buffalo this weekend? Is that they're playing? Yeah, Buffalo,
yeah.
At Buffalo. And the Bills are fighting with the Steelers for the number 2 seed. The Steelers are resting guys, so the Bills aren't going to be resting Josh Allen.
Yeah, this is one of those weird weekends where pretty much every game's at the same time.
Right, right. I mean,
some afternoon games, but everyone is like, no, we're all playing, so everyone ends at the same time. That way we don't have, you know, a situation where, oh, you already got this locked up, then you're not playing at all.
Exactly.
All the games to be competitive.
Yeah, and there's a Sunday night game, but there's no Monday night game. There's no Thursday night game. So there's no, I mean, everybody's playing Sunday, and that's it. Lock it in. So,
yeah, the Sunday night game, that's going to be fun.
Washington and Philadelphia. It's either going to be Taylor Heinicke or Alex Smith, quarterback for Washington, and against the Eagles. And then the Dallas Giants game. So, both those teams, Dallas and New York, need Washington to lose.
Right.
Right? Even if Dallas wins and ties Washington, Washington owns the tiebreaker. And the Giants, well, they're a game behind, so they need Washington to lose anyway. Because the Giants own the tiebreaker. So Oh, God, it's great, great.
Yeah, we got 8 afternoon games.
Yeah.
I know we're going to get into it more. I was just looking at it.
Tomorrow, we're going to be breaking down the schedule, what to watch and what not to watch. But and yeah, I'm going to tell you, there are very few games not to watch.
Right.
Most everybody has some sort of playoff implication in some capacity, whether it's a team that's vying for something or both teams are vying for something or
whatever.
There's
a few that you could probably skip and ignore.
There's probably a couple.
Hey, you don't need to see that one.
And there's also going to be matchups between teams that are like are pretty secure in their thing.
In their spots.
Like, it doesn't matter.
Neither plus or minus.
It's a good matchup, but whatever.
But I think, you're absolutely right with the Dolphins. They owe it to the fans to get into the playoffs. They owe it to the organization. At this point,
and again, that might be Tua. If Brian Flores feels that it would be Tua, then that's it. But
I honestly think it's Fitzpatrick, though.
I think it's Fitzpatrick. I'm just old school. I just think you go with the veteran guy.
Yeah. I'm not saying Tua's not going to be a great quarterback. I think he has all the makings, all the potential to be.
Yeah.
But this season, I think you got to go with the sure and steady hand.
Yeah. Go to Buffalo and win, rookie. Yeah, it's not going to be easy.
This guy played in Buffalo. He knows it.
He knows it, exactly.
Has Tua ever seen snow?
Probably not. Jake Asman Show next.